all who are watching live online via our streaming service, especially our dear friends at Littlewood Court, and all who are watching on our catch-up service during the week. We welcome you all to worship most warmly. We have a few intimations at the start of our time today. First of all, a reminder that next Sunday, on June 2nd, is our dear Kylie's final Sunday with us here in Kemnay. There we go. The groans have it. So later on, after that service, at 5 p.m., we'll have a shared supper, which is meant to honor Kylie's time to say a fond farewell and a hasty back as well to you, Kylie. And also at that time, if he's not too jet-lagged, Kylie's successor, David Hendricks, who will be arriving that very same day, will be present at the social as well. So it's a chance to say farewell to Kylie and hello to David. And surely, I believe, will you be taking names again today, my dear, after? Yes, you will. So please speak with Shirley to put your name down for that event on June 2nd at 5 p.m. Also a reminder that the next meeting of our men's group will happen on Tuesday, the 18th of June at 7 p.m. And the guest speaker and our guest of honor is Mr. Rob Mackay, who will tell us about the work of Himalayan initiatives in Nepal. And all interested men, please come along and hear about this very worthwhile charity. And please speak with Mr. Leslie Mackay to book your place. I've also been asked to intimate that the 9th of June, two Sundays from now, we will have an ordination service for new elders here in the church. And at that service, three individuals will be ordained as elders. That's Joe Black, Richard Gray, and Irene Reed will be ordained as elders of the church. And according to church law, I have to say this part, that if anyone has any reasons, any objections to the life or doctrine of Joe Black, Richard Gray, or Irene Reed, to please make those concerns known to me beforehand. And we'll have four other individuals ordained later on in the summer, but more information will be forthcoming about that in due course. Thank you. And also, on the 11th of June, Tuesday at 7:30 p.m., we will have our next meeting of Kirk Session. So all elders and all involved parties, please do mark your diaries for that meeting of Kirk Session. That's Tuesday, 11th of June at 7:30 p.m. Are there any other intimations to share with our church family? Jim, you have one you'd like to share, I know?
I guess the guys upstairs know that Littlewood Court has no sound, so I guess you're working on that. Quick announcement regarding volunteers for Kemphill Park in the event of a future flood. Now, this is something that I announced some time ago, and quite a number of you volunteered to be called upon in the event that there would be another flood. This is in the context of the Kemphill Park Flood Group's resilience plan and also the Kemnay Village resilience plan, which has been put together to put us in a slightly more prepared state in the event that we do have another event like we had back in 2016. Those of you that remember that will know that it was quite a severe event and people rallied around. I mean, there were people from the church here spontaneously went down and served coffee and helped in any way they could. Over that night and in the days after the actual flood. So, however, things have moved on since then, and we now have a thing called GDPR. That means that we need to have permission to hold details about people, so things like names, addresses, phone numbers or email addresses to contact people. So inevitably, we have a form. So my appeal to you this morning is for those of you that volunteered before, if you're still willing to be on the volunteer list for this event or any potential event in the future, could you please get a form from me today and just fill in, but you need to fill this form out stating that you're happy to be a volunteer and that you're happy for us to hold your details. Yeah, that's the really important bit. And on the back page, there's actually a space for you to write in any specific capabilities that you've got that you want to volunteer. Now, some people said, I'll do anything. The other people said, well, I've got a specific skill that I can offer in the event of an actual situation. So that's my appeal to you today. So if you are on that list, if you'd like to continue to be on the list, or if you want to be added to the list, see me and get a phone. Thank you.
Thank you, Johnny. Are there any other intimations to share at the start of our time? With those shared then, let us enter into worship with singing our first song of praise, which is Jesus, What a Beautiful Name. And during the singing of this song of praise, our offering for God's continued work here in Kemnay and beyond will be uplifted.
Prayer of thanksgiving. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we are here together to worship you, and we pray that our worship will be acceptable to you. Our Father, we know you as our loving Father who gave us life and cares for us each day. We also recognize you as creator of everything and everything around us. And we thank you now for each other. We thank you for the love and support we receive from our friends here, and we pray that we might give freely of our love to others. We thank you for the many good things you give us, and so we thank you for our families, our homes, the village we live in. Thank you for our health, our jobs, our schools, and we thank you for our church here in Kemnay. We are aware that there are many people here in our country and further afield who are much less fortunate than us, and we pray for them. We thank you, our Father, for the gift of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. We thank you that he gave of his life freely so that we might be saved. Father, we ask your forgiveness again for those times when we do things in our daily lives that displease you. Forgive us, Lord, for the unwise words we have spoken and the wrongs we have done to others. Lord, we thank you for the changing seasons we enjoy in this country, and as we see the growth of all the plants and flowers at this time of year, we again see your hand in all of it. We thank you for the doctors and nurses and staff who care for those in hospital, and we pray for them and others who work in the emergency services. Lord, we will all too soon be saying farewell to Kylie, but we thank you for the time she's spent with us here. We thank you for the blessing she's been to us. As her mum and dad prepare to travel to the UK, we pray that they will have a safe journey and have a lovely time of reunion and holiday with Kylie. Father, some of our friends have lost loved ones and live day by day on their own. We ask you, Lord, to draw near them, near to them, and comfort them. We pray that as we worship you this morning, the singing of the songs and the words that are spoken will be acceptable to you. We pray that you will accept our offering, that it might be used here and further afield for your glory. Lord, bless us as we later consider today's passage from the Bible, and we pray for our minister Joshua as he delivers your message to us. We pray too for the Sunday school teachers and for the children in their time together. We thank you for all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Adam. We continue now in worship and singing our next hymn of praise, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven.
Thank you.
this time I invite all of our children who like to come down and sit with me on the steps to come on down. Children of all ages, so any adults can come down as well if they so wish as well. Nice to see you all here today. How are we doing today? Good. Well, we are talking about something very important in church today. Who here knows what does it mean to listen? Have your parents ever told you to listen before? What was that? What does that mean to listen? Do you know? It means to use your ears, right? It means to use your ears and to pay attention. Well, usually we have an activity for you in the children's talk, but I thought today we'd put the adults to the test. What do you think? You can decide together how well they do and what I'm going to ask them to do right now, okay? So this is a game that you all know. We call it telephone in America, but over here you call it Chinese whispers. So I'm going to put you on the spot. Let's see here. Hi, Rita. Here's the first. I'm going to turn my mic off so you can't hear me. See how we did. So the end result I got from George there was my favorite thing to do on a rainy afternoon is to sit down and party like a hobbit. Which is actually really close, because the phrase was my favorite thing to do on a rainy afternoon is watch Lord of the Rings and party like a hobbit. So I'll give you a reasonably good mark for that. Well done indeed. Okay, let's see here. Not going to get out of that easily. Let's see. Let's pick a really good one.
Are you guys ready?
So we got, at the end, something something is good for nieces and nephews and good for tittle-tattle. Okay. The actual phrase was, Facebook is perfect for aunts who want to creep on nieces and nephews and tattletale on them for holding a beer. What do you think, boys and girls? How was that? Was that? I saw a thumbs down. Very good. Well, I think it's only fair. We put the adults through the test, and the rest of you can breathe a sigh of relief. I'm not going to call upon you, but we'll try one with the kids as well. Okay? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Marks to you, because today is all about listening, and boys and girls, you've heard the most important thing in the whole wide world. That's what we always need to hear with our ears, and remember that no matter what happens in life, that Jesus always, always loves us. So always tell yourself that and tell that to others as well. That's the most important kind of whispering to hear. Let's pray together now, okay? Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us. Help us to hear you every single day. We pray in your name. Amen. Go back and sit down with your mommies and daddies. Okay. Very good, and gold star to all of our participants as well. Well done indeed. So now we sing together our next song of praise, Oh, 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 How Good Is the Lord.
Salvation, how good is the Lord? He gives me salvation.
This morning's lesson is taken from Matthew chapter 13, starting at verse 1. It can be found on page 978 of your Bible. Matthew 13, verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear." The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understand. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who receives the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Amen, and thanks be to God for this reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Helen. We continue now in worship with singing our next hymn, "Breathe on Me, Breath of God."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, in this time, we pray that you will send your Holy Spirit upon us afresh. Breathe on us anew. Give us your inspiration so that we may hear you more clearly, that we may love you more dearly and follow you more closely. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and we pray them for his sake. Amen. Over the last couple of weeks, we have entered into a series of messages and sermons here in the church that is, well, a wee bit different from the norm here in Kemnay. With Kylie's time in Kemnay soon wrapping up, I asked her a little while ago what she wanted to have her last Sundays with us be like. And after giving it due consideration and thought, Kylie suggested that we do a series on the intersection between art and worship. And in one respect, it seems quite fitting that we have this series now at the end of your time, Kylie, because at the start of your time with us here in Scotland, we went down to Edinburgh, to Leith, for a conference called the Abbey Summer School. And the theme of that particular conference was art and worship, art and theology. So we're kind of bookending Kylie's time with discussions about the value of art and worship, art and theology, art and the life of the Christian. And if we pay attention here in Kemnay Kirk, we are blessed with an abundance of artistry all around us. I think we can all agree that this is a beautiful, beautiful church building, especially when the sun is out, the sun is shining, and when all of our lovely windows have that light reflected through them in wonderful ways. And as we've heard in previous weeks in this series, we're focusing on this window here, the largest window in our church, and the various panes in it that teach us something about the life and ministry of Jesus, about the good news of the gospel. And in many respects, this may feel like a fresh idea to use the windows to talk about our faith, but it's one of the oldest traditions we have in Christianity, because for the first several centuries, even millennia of Christian life, most Christians could not read, right? So they could either listen to what the priest or the pastor was saying, or they could pay attention to the wonderful art and the pictorial depictions they had in church. So windows and art were one of the chief ways that people could be taught about the good news of the gospel. And today, I'd like to draw our attention to the pane on your left, and down here, it has words that are written, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And the image above shows Jesus with a type of shepherd's staff, and it looks like to me that he is teaching or talking to these individuals below him in the window, and they're all listening attentively to what he is saying. So, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And this phrase is repeated several times in the New Testament, both in the Gospels and also in the last book of the New Testament, in the book of Revelation. In fact, it's a refrain throughout the book of Revelation. "The one who has ears, let him or let her hear." And we heard this reading today that Helen read for us from Matthew's Gospel, this famous parable of the sower. And in this parable, Jesus tells us about a farmer who went out to sow seed, right? And some seed, we are told, was scattered on the path. What happened to the seed gathered on the path? The birds came and devoured it. And then some other seed fell upon rocky ground, and it quickly sprung up. But what happens to plants when there isn't enough deep, good soil? They withered when the sun came out. Still other seed, we are told, fell among thorny ground. And what do weeds do to any garden? Completely overwhelm it and choke it out, right? And then finally, we are told a fourth spreading of seed fell upon good soil. And what happened to that seed that fell upon the good, deep, rich soil? It produced an astounding harvest. From a few tiny seeds, an abundant harvest grew up. So after sharing this parable about the sower, Jesus then said these famous words, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." I like the more modern version offered by Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, The Message. Instead of "he that hath ears, let him hear," Eugene paraphrases it as, "Are you listening to this? Are you really listening?" I like how he puts that. So on the one hand, we might ask, why does Jesus focus on hearing? Why not say something like, "The one who has eyes, let her see"? Or, "The one who has a tongue, let him taste." Or, "The one who has a nose, let her smell." Perhaps we could say such things. But I think there's also a reason why Jesus focused on hearing in his teaching. According to Jesus, the gospel, the good news of salvation, is received by hearing. Or the deeper word behind hearing is understanding, right? The one who can understand, let him or her understand. So, I have a question. How many of us have ever had the experience of hearing someone speak but have absolutely no idea what they are saying? Raise your hand if you've ever had that experience. And if you say that's what it's like during the Sunday sermon each week, I will be very, very sad. But those especially who played our recent game of Chinese Whispers would know how this feels quite well, to say, "Come again." And I have to admit, when Heather and I first moved to Kemnay, I have to confess that it took us a while to tune our ears to some of the local dialects that we heard. Kylie, has this been your experience as well? Yes, indeed. And with that said, I must admit that we are still sometimes tuning our ears, and there are still times when we will be in conversation with someone and struggle mightily to comprehend what is being said. And even if we don't comprehend, and if the other person laughs at the end, we assume everything is okay, or they're mocking us to our face. But either way is fine. But we know that true hearing, true understanding, it does not come easily. Really hearing, really listening, takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of hard work. With my lifestyle, I like to listen to audiobooks these days on an app called Audible. It's a great way to put my earbuds in and listen to books while I'm doing chores or whatnot, but I find so often that my attention drifts away from what's being said in the audiobook, and I have to hit the 30-second rewind button again and again and again to go back and say, "What was that again? I missed that." And I think, I've got to work on my listening. It always takes hard work and effort to hear and to understand. So, please raise your hand again if you've ever studied any sort of foreign language. Yeah, many of us have, absolutely. Please raise your hand again if you are fluent by the end of your first week. Emma, okay, you're very gifted. Well, teach us your ways, please, okay? No, of course not. True understanding of another language takes time, effort, patience, and guidance from others. And I think the same principle is even more true when it comes to our relationship with Jesus. The parable that we heard today does a wonderful job of illustrating all of the ways that an inability to understand what God is saying, how it can severely hinder our faith journey. So the first occasion, the seed, God's word, which fell upon the path, did not even find purchase in the soil, but instead it simply bounces off. Can't even begin to be understood. The seed which fell upon the rocky ground is a picture of what happens when someone hears the word, receives it with joy, it springs up, but then that person's life lacks the depth to hold on to that faith when more challenging times come. And the seed which fell among the thorns is a picture of one who hears the word, maybe wants to embrace it, but who is more concerned with other lesser things. Jesus directly mentions the deceitfulness of riches in this passage. And these anxieties, these cares, prevent the seed of the word from taking root. Instead, it is choked out and overwhelmed. Then finally, the word which is heard and understood and which falls on good soil changes the entire landscape around it by giving rise to a magnificent harvest. This is a wonderful depiction of how the gospel can and will take root and utterly transform our lives. Now, when we hear this parable, and it's cryptic, "He that hath ears, let him hear," its description of the hard path, the shallow soil, the thorns, and the good soil, maybe we start to get anxious and ask ourselves, what kind of soil am I? Am I a hard, incomprehensible path? Am I shallow? Is my life choked with weeds, or am I good soil? I'll give us a moment to think about it. Okay, you've had your moment. So, are we soil one, soil two, soil three, or four? Are we hard path, shallow, thorny, or are we good soil? I think the answer is all of the above. All of the above. On this side of eternity, I think that each and every one of us as disciples of Jesus is a mixed bag. If each of our lives was a field, some parts would be hard and uncomprehending. Some parts would have good but shallow soil that needs to be deepened. Some parts would have some weeds. And some parts would be good, deep soil in which God has complete sovereignty and rule. Each and every one of us here is a work in progress. For those of us who love gardening, raise your hands if you love to garden. Yes, two hands up for Leslie, very good. Don't gardens take continual work? If you leave a garden alone, will it just take care of itself? No, it will not. It's the same with our lives. Each of us here is a work in progress. And when it comes to our faith, when it comes to following Jesus, every single one of us, every single one of us has areas in which we are strong. Every single one of us has areas that are less strong as well. Every single one of us has areas in our life in which our faith is drowned out by other priorities. And every single one of us, whoever we are, also has areas in our lives where the gospel has not yet taken root. I remember a great story bringing up Eugene Peterson again. He was once visiting Kylie and I's alma mater, Whitworth, and Eugene went to the office of one of our New Testament professors named Roger Morlang, who was sitting there reading his Greek Bible. And Eugene quipped to Roger, he goes, "Roger, haven't you mastered that thing yet?" And Roger, without missing a beat, says, "It hasn't mastered me yet." Good answer, Roger. Every single one of us is a work in progress. Now, if some of us feel depressed or frustrated by being such a mixed bag of soil, well, I first say welcome to the club, and then I have some good news. That as long as we are breathing, God is not finished with us. I don't care if we are 3 years old, 23 years old, 53, 93, 103, God is not finished with us. And God can turn even the hardest path, the rockiest soil, or the thorniest ground into good, deep, gospel-filled soil. Recall last week that we talked about baptism. Baptism as beginning, becoming, and completion. A life of faith, a life of following Jesus takes our entire lives. The fact that we are here today drawing breath means that God is not done with us. And every day is an opportunity to ask God to help us to be in better relationship with Him and with other believers. And why is every day a new opportunity? Why can we say this? Because right here, right now, this very moment and this moment and this moment, God is still speaking to us. God is still calling us to listen to him. Remember the scene of Jesus' baptism. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And some of the accounts say what? Listen to him. Listen to him. So God is still speaking to us. To reinforce this point, we have a short video I'd like to show you from a fellow named Karl Barth. Karl Barth is the most, I think, the most important. You can pause it. Pause the video. Go back a slide for a second then. Thank you. He's the most important theologian of the 20th century. And just to warn you, we'll put the sound up for the video as well, please, that he speaks in German. But there's subtitles, and I will summarize what he says afterwards. So this is another exercise in reading and listening as well. So let's have the video with the sound up now, please.
Der Gott, der sein entscheidendes Wort in Jesus Christus gesprochen hat, das ist kein toter Gott, wie heute die Toren sagen, sondern das ist der lebendige Gott, der auch heute spricht. Und wenn wir Ohren hätten zu hören, dann könnten wir ihn beständig hören. Denn die Welt, in der wir leben, ist von ihm geschaffen. Und wenn wir Augen hätten zu sehen, dann würden wir wohl etwas von Offenbarung wahrnehmen. Nicht nur in der Bibel, sondern auch sonst. Aber jetzt Achtung! Also, was man nun so Offenbarung außerhalb der Bibel nennen könnte und gerne nennt, das könnte nun etwas so sein auf der Linie Hitler. Nicht? Und da passieren immer wieder die Irrtümer, wenn die Menschen nun meinen, ha, jetzt habe ich es hier und dort. Und darum wird es wohl für uns dabei bleiben müssen, bei aller Offenheit für die Welt, für die Schönheit des Frühlings, der uns da draußen umgibt, auch für das, was in der Geschichte geschieht, bei aller Offenheit entschlossen und geschlossen dorthin zu blicken, wo Gott unzweideutig für sich selber gesprochen hat, in Jesus Christus, der wahrer Gott und wahrer Mensch gewesen ist und ist heute und sein und bleiben wird.
Thank you. So in case we had trouble following along, what Barth said, the God who spoke his decisive word in Jesus Christ. This is not a dead God, like fools are saying today. Instead, this is the lively God who also speaks today. And if we had ears to listen, here it is again, we could hear him constantly, because the world we live in was created by him. And if we had eyes to see, we could very well apprehend his revelation, his revealing, not only in the Bible, but also elsewhere. But we must pay attention. What one could possibly call revelation beyond the Bible, and we gladly do so, this could now be something along the lines of Adolf Hitler, right? This is where mistakes happen again and again, when people think, ah, now I've got it. And here and there, and that's why it will likely have to remain like that for us, with all openness for the world, for the beauty of spring which surrounds us out there. For those things that happen in history with all openness, decisively and collectively, to look there where God spoke for himself unambiguously in Jesus Christ, who is true God and true man, and still is today and will be forever. Now, what was Barth trying to say just then? And he's the focus of my doctoral thesis, so I ask this question a lot. On the one hand, he affirms that God is still active in creation, still speaking to us today. And if we had ears to hear, we could hear God all the time. But Bart also believed that on our own, apart from God, apart from grace, we are easily led into error about what God may or may not be saying. And Bart himself, for context, lived during World War I and World War II. And in his work and his life, he had to contend with many of his fellow Swiss and Germans who believed Adolf Hitler to be the Vox Dei, the voice of God. And this reaction to Hitler made him very cautious. And so for Bart, the best, clearest place for us to hear and understand God in our lives is in and through Jesus Christ. If we ever want to know what God is saying to us, in other words, we must pay attention to Jesus. Right? If we want to be closer to God, if we want to be filled with his light and his love, then we must devote ourselves to the words of Jesus Christ, to following him as his disciples. So back to the window. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear Jesus. So the question remains, are we listening? Are we listening to the one who is way, truth, and life? Are we listening to the one who is author and perfecter of faith? Are we listening to the one in whom the fullness of God is pleased to dwell? And wherever we are at in life, whatever kinds of soils are in the field of our lives, may we take this day and all the days to come, and may we use them to hear, understand, and follow Jesus more and more. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let him understand. Let her follow. Amen. The one true foundation of our lives as Christians is Jesus Christ. We must seek him constantly. We must hear him constantly. For it is only on Jesus, who is our true foundation, that we shall stand. Thank you. Friends, fellow hearers, brothers and sisters in Christ, we gather together this time to meet the Lord Jesus at this table. And no matter what our lives look like, whether they're hard ground, shallow soil, thorny ground, or good soil, all are welcome to partake of this feast together. And Jesus invites us, whether we have carried them for days, weeks, months, or years, to lay all of our cares on this table, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light. It is here in this sacrament that we receive nourishment for our journey as disciples of Jesus. It is here we receive the courage and renewed faith in the good news of the gospel. And this table does not belong to Kemnay Parish Church. It does not belong to the Church of Scotland. This table belongs to Jesus and to him alone. He is the true host of this meal. And it is he who is calling all who will trust in him, even just a little, to partake in this feast together. So come to this table, not because you must, but because by God's grace, we may. Come not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you the right, but come because you need the Lord's mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because Jesus loves you and gave himself for each of us. Come and join in this feast, and in so doing, meet the risen Christ. For together we are his body, the church. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Hear now the words of institution, recorded for us by Paul the Apostle in his first letter to the Corinthians. Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord Jesus what I also delivered to you. And on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, 'This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's saving death until he comes again.'" The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Eternal God, holy and mighty, it is truly right and our greatest joy to give you our thanks and our praise, to worship you in spirit and in truth, in every place where your glory abides. You lay the very foundations of the cosmos. The heavens are the work of your hands. Creation shall one day perish, but you shall endure forever. You are always the same, and your time will never come to an end. We believe that you have fashioned each of us in your image. You have called us to be stewards of creation. You have called us to be your people here on earth. But time and again we do confess that we turned away from you, leaving sin and death to reign in our lives and in the world. But still, your great love has sought us out. And in Jesus Christ, your grace defeated death and has reopened the way to life eternal. Therefore, we join with all of your people in every time, in every place, proclaiming, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." With the confidence of those who have been called, claimed, and redeemed by the Lord Jesus, we join our voices together in the very words that he taught us to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. take and eat. This is Christ's body, which is broken for us. Do this in remembrance of him. This cup is the new covenant, sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood has been shed so that the sins of a limitless many may be forgiven. Drink from it, all of you. May the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us now show each other a sign of peace. Peace out. Peace out. Peace be with you. Peace. One song offbeat, one sing offbeat. Peace, brother. It's Roger. Good to have you back, sir. How you doing? Peace, Suzanne. Peace, David.
Your loyalty, astronomic. Yet, in your largeness, nothing gets lost. We have partaken of bread and wine in communal remembrance of the sacrifice you made for us, the crucifixion of your Son, and his subsequent resurrection. Help us to understand this judgment on ourselves And now, try to be more thoughtful and compassionate in our daily lives. Our news bulletins contain conflicts, altercations, difficulties throughout our world, some of which have been going on for so, so long. With new leaders, governments, emperors being elected, may they be more aware of the needs of their people and act empathetically. As Joshua reminded us last Sunday, each day is a new day, a day of new hope, a new beginning. May this transcend to all people, especially those suffering fear, hunger, illness, or insecurity. May they feel the warmth of your love so that they can look forward with hope for better times. With the elections of Europe coming to a close today, may the insular thinking of the many nationalist groups be prepared to include listening to others' opinions, recognizing others' needs, and being open to compromise. May friendships and understanding flourish instead of distrust and intrigue. Here too, we have witnessed our politicians voting one way, then another, and in consequence, our relationships within our own country and with Europe have become fractured. Dear Lord, guide our MPs to listen and understand the dilemma that these political games have created. Help them to mend the schisms in our society and prevent further difficulties for many businesses and people's jobs. For those nearer home, Lord, who are experiencing loneliness, illness, hardship, bereavement, may they be comforted in your loving arms. For the families of Ruby Middleton and Pat Walker, especially, build up their resilience, Lord, to face the coming days and years ahead. We also bring before you the names of others close to us. May they feel the warmth of your all-encompassing love. Dear Lord, you created a beautifully colourful and bountiful land. Guide everyone to appreciate it, to nurture it, to protect it, so that the concerns regarding climate change do not materialise. Let strategies be formalised to counteract this possible disaster, and may these be broadcast, supported, and followed throughout the world. We are mere stewards of your world, and we need guidance to look after it for our future generations. Help the world work as one. Each day, a new beginning, a new time of hope. May people live in harmony with one another. May they share the fruits of this land and support one another in a fairer world. May they love one another as you love us. Lord, help our words, deeds, and character be a reflection of you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Anne. We now sing our closing hymn of praise, "Tell Out My Soul."
Thank you.
one who has ears, let him, let her hear. Are you listening? Are you really listening? Go forth from this place today and listen for God speaking into your lives. Listen to him, follow him, love him. And may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may this blessing fall afresh upon each of us and upon all who we love this day and forevermore.